62. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 39 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
The Gary Harris Show. You see him host Tider Insider TV, Crimson Tide Kickoff, play-by-play for Alabama sports, and sports director for WVUA 23. It's time for the Gary Harris Show on your home for Alabama sports. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
All right, good morning, everybody. Welcome into the Gary Harris Show for this Friday, October 31st, 2025. Happy birthday to Nick Saban. That's my first thought, even prior to Halloween, is it's the GOAT's birthday. 74 years young today, Nick Saban celebrating a birthday on this Halloween, and it was a little Halloweenish this morning. Bad fog this morning. It was the worst thing about it for me is not driving in necessarily, but you have to get your two side mirrors get covered up with it. You got to wipe them down so you can see when you're changing lanes and things like that. But it's a beautiful morning. It's cleared up. It's a gorgeous, cool outside, crisp, very fall-like. We've had all the rain the past several days. And as I said earlier this week, with all of the cooler temperatures and the moisture in the air, and now sunshine on tap for today, and clouds kind of rolling back in, it looks like, tomorrow, but no rain in the forecast. I bet you we get some great, great, great colors on these trees. The leaves are going to be changing fast now. I mean, I look ahead to the weekend, and you know, highs continue to be in the mid-60s, and Sunday's highs projected to be in 59, and lows in the low 40s, so warming up at the latter part of next week, but for the most part, cool and dry, and that should mean some great colors in our area for people that enjoy the fall season. Of course, tonight, somebody asked me what I was going as for Halloween, Chase, and I said, well, I guess I'll go as a sportscaster since I'm working tonight. No different for me this Friday night than any Friday night. But high school football, had a ton of it last night. Had more games last night, actually, I think, than we have tonight. But I still have football Friday tonight at 10:30 on WVUA 23. We showed a bunch of games last night on the news at on the sports cast at 10 o'clock. So high school football, the final regular season games are tonight. Can you believe that? Next week's the playoffs, man. So it's flying by. Some news and notes in Monday night, or I say Monday night's a habit, Thursday night football last night. The Ravens are kind of getting back on track. They've won two in a row, plus they got Lamar Jackson back at quarterback, and they took care of the Dolphins last night down in Miami, 28-6. Derrick Henry had a good game. He didn't get a touchdown. Had a chance for a touchdown early. I thought for sure he was going to score. They had a first and goal at the 6, and he busted through the middle like he was going to score, and he just couldn't quite get the ball over. Then on second and about a half a yard, second and goal, he got stuffed. He wound up not scoring a touchdown there, but he did go 19 carries for 119 yards. So good game in terms of his yardage, but no touchdowns as he continues to try to move up the touchdown list. And so the Ravens get back on track. The Dolphins, I thought, outplayed Miami in the first half. But this is the way it's gone for the Dolphins. They had a lot more yards. They had tons of opportunities, three opportunities to score touchdowns. They kicked two field goals. They missed a field goal. They fumbled inside their 10-yard line. And they were down 14-6 at half, even though they had, as I said, really thought they outplayed the Ravens, and that's kind of the writing on the wall. When you've got like double the total yardage, tons of scoring opportunities in the red zone, you settle for two field goals, you miss another field goal, and you're down 14-6. Second half, Dolphins not so much. They didn't do much in the second half. 201, I'm going 25 of 40 for 261, which isn't bad, but no touchdowns and had one pick. So the Dolphins, Jalen Waddle had a nice game, 6 catches for 82 yards, had another 35-yard reception that was wiped out due to a terrible call. Ollie Gordon, a running back for the Dolphins, was blocking on the edge against a rusher and kind of cut him a little bit, but it wasn't. They called that unnecessary roughness. I thought he didn't trip him. He didn't leg whip him. He didn't do any of that, Chase. It was just a weak call and wiped out, you know, a big catch for Waddle and wiped out a chance for the Dolphins to be down deep in Ravens territory. So, but when it's not going your way, those kind of things happen. Of course, this is something that we knew was coming after Jeff Landry, the governor of Louisiana's press conference, where he called out Scott Woodward. Woodward and LSU are working on an exit strategy, or basically not working on an exit strategy. He is he's out. Virge Osbury, the executive deputy athletic director, will be the interim AD. But Scott Woodward, you know, when the governor just says there ain't no way he's picking a coach, that kind of lets you know where they were headed. So a lot of people are talking about the governor being involved. But as I said this week, and people that follow Louisiana politics, and, you know, I'm by no means a political guy, but that's just who they are down there. Politics and is entwined in everything that they do. So while we may look at it from the outside looking in and saying, can you imagine if the governor of Alabama tried to tell the University of Alabama, you know, who's going to do the hiring for coaches and all that, that'd be highly frowned upon. But in Louisiana, it's just the way they do things. So anyway, all right, let's get on with the show. First, let me tell you, this hour of the Gary Harris Show being brought to you by Alabama Credit Union, member owned and not for profit. It's just a better way of banking. Again, I want to wish Steve Swofford, the retiring CEO of the Alabama Credit Union, an enjoyable retirement. I know he'll stay busy, and I know he'll still be involved helping out the credit union. Had a retirement party for him last night. I wish I could have gotten by. And I wanted to, but we had all those high school football games last night. So I sent Steve a text saying, I'm sorry I couldn't come by, but they had a retirement shindig for him last night at the main branch of the credit union here in Tuscaloosa, and wish him well. But the credit union is a top-notch financial institution, member-owned and not-for-profit. I encourage you to find out more at alabamacu.com. That's alabamacu.com. Alabama Credit Union, loans for real life. Some rules and restrictions do apply. See if you're eligible for membership, then join today and feel good about your money. And put a little extra change in your pocket. Our great lineup for today. By the way, I'm in the studio today, as I said, all week. No Friday at the Free today since there is no game. But I'll be back at Innis Free next Friday for LSU and then for the final stretch of the season. No more bye week. So I'll be at Innis Free from here on out through the Iron Bowl. And I don't know if we'll do the SEC championship game or not. Of course, I'll be going to Atlanta probably, so I'll figure that one out. But we'll be there for the LSU game, the Oklahoma game, the Eastern Illinois game, and the Iron Bowl. We'll be on the road at Jordan-Hare, but I'll be there for that one as well. So looking forward to Fridays at the Free, but not today. And also no Bama football trivia giveaway presented by T-Town Menswear, T-Town Gallery, and University Mall. We'll start that back up next week as well. The Gary Harris Show hotline, 205-342-9904, 205-342-9904. Feel free to give us a call, and what a great lineup we've got today. Adam Amin, Fox Sports play-by-play at 9:30. The coach, Ellis Johnson, who couldn't be with us yesterday, will be with us to break down SEC football at 10, and then the Auburn Report with Brett Pritchard at 10:30. So we got a great show on tap. Go ahead and give us a call. Corey and Trustful, you hold tight. We'll get to you on the other side. Beautiful, beautiful fall morning. It's Halloween. It's Nick Saban's birthday, and we're ready to have some fun on the Gary Harris Show.
What's trending on the Tuscaloosa Thread.
Happy Halloween. Overnight lows were in the mid to upper 30s across West Alabama, and a frost advisory that ended at 9 this morning will be reissued overnight tonight. Despite the rain of the last few days, the new U.S. Drought Monitor issued yesterday shows West Alabama still under extreme drought conditions. No significant rainfall expected through next week. Click TuscaloosaThread.com for the latest West Alabama news, sports, and weather throughout the day. It's free. Don Hurt, Town Square Media, Tuscaloosa.
As much as Innisfree has evolved, it will always be that place to escape and have a good time. Whether it's for a game day weekend, to reminisce on college days, or to create new memories, if you're looking for a good time, there's only one thing to do. Head to the Free at 1925 University Boulevard. And don't forget about the Lucky Lunch meet and
205-737-7373 to secure your spot, and they will send you a free book on retirement. 205-737-7373.
Since 2011, Billy's Sports Grill, located on Main Avenue in historic downtown Northport, has been serving their legendary signature chicken sandwich, award-winning wings, and handcrafted cocktails. Billy's is also the spot to watch all your favorite sporting events with big screen, high definition televisions, both dining rooms, at the bar, and outside on
the Tide Post Game Show is powered by Pearl River Resort, DCH Regional Medical Center, Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram, and Two Dimes.
You see him on WVUA 23 covering sports and on Tider Insider TV on Tuesday nights. Don't miss a minute of the Gary Harris Show. Weekdays from 9 to 11 on Tide 100.9.
Another Friday tradition around here on the Gary Harris Show. Chase likes to crank up those great weekend tunes to get you ready, man. We have weekend theme music all Friday morning long. Right now, we've got a Corey themed phone call. Our pal Corey and Trustful going to lead us off this morning on the Gary Harris Show hotline. Good morning, Troy.
Good morning, Gary. How you doing this
morning? Doing great, man.
You know, I didn't watch the game in its entirety, but I kept up with Tulane and UTSA, and you could just tell that the team was just disinterested.
You think they were distracted because of all the Summerall to LSU talk?
Yes, that was an absolute beatdown, and I get that they were on the road, but Tulane supposedly is supposed to be the better team, and they got absolutely bludgeoned. It was 31-6 in the first half. And I just thought that's a distracted football team that you can just tell, you know, and they showed it. I mean, I can't remember what the final score was.
It was a beat down. Look it up real quick, Chase. The UTSA Tulane final. Chase is getting it, Corey. But go ahead, keep making your point.
Well, it was 48-26 with the final, but it was just one of those things where John Summerall and his team was just distracted, and it just shows you that when you're a league candidate for a job, the players are not focused, and you can lose when you're not supposed to, and it can spiral quickly.
Yeah, now I was working last night, but I watched some of it too. I'm gonna not push back on you because I do think that the team seemed distracted. I think UTSA is better than its record. They're really good at home. And I won't say that, yeah, I can blame it all on the fact that his name's being mentioned for other jobs. I mean, that happens in this business, particularly now. And you've got to be able to block that out. But you watch more of it than I did, and you're telling me that you felt like the team just definitely was not dialed in.
Well, the crazy thing was, Tulane went down the field and scored right away, but after that, it just avalanched. And UTSA was up 31-6 at halftime, and I thought, yeah, something's just off here. That now I could be wrong, and Tulane just jumped all over them, and maybe UTSA is better than what we thought. But at the same time, when John Summerall is one of the best group of five coaches being mentioned for the LSU job, you just have to know that the players are not focused and not totally committed to what's going on. Because, I mean, for anybody, if their head coach is being mentioned, you just have to know, is our coach really committed to this? I mean, you just have to, you know, that has to be in the back of the players' minds.
Yeah, I mean, you make great points. Again, I want to give UTSA a lot of credit for how well they played in the game. But at the same time, yeah, I mean, these young men that play for these coaches, I'm sure that, you know, they're having a really good year. And, you know, a lot of talk about possibly trying to get into the college football playoff as a group of five team. And that's probably shot now. And when you look at the end result of last night, it was a bad night for the Tulane Green Wave. So, and we'll see what happens. You know, one thing about when your coach is being mentioned for big jobs, there's a lot of spotlight on you. And that was a Thursday night game, and there were a lot of people watching. Unfortunately for John Sumrall, you go out and lay an egg, and maybe people start viewing you differently in terms of your coaching acumen. Corey?
Yeah, I mean, I think the last thing you would, now, even if you would have lost, maybe you're close, but the last thing you want to do is, like you said, lay an egg. And is this who we want as our coach? Well, there's two ways to look at it, but John Sumrall has done an amazing job at Tulane. And do you remember where he came from before he went to Tulane?
He was in Troy.
Yeah, and he did a real good job at Troy.
Yeah, his background is he's from Huntsville, and he played in Kentucky and was a very good assistant coach and wound up as head coach at Troy, did a, you know, great job there. And then when Willie Fritz left Tulane to go to Houston, Sumrall got that job, and he's been terrific. And I do think this, there's a very good possibility this is his last year at Tulane. But that was a bad, that was a bad outing last night. And as I said, with a lot of eyes on that game, you know, some ADs or search committees may look at him now and say, wow, man, first time in the, you know, in a big spotlight as far as his name being mentioned for other jobs, and they don't play well. So that could have hurt him last night.
But if you're LSU, do you really want to take the coach of the little brother and
oh, I'm not saying that they do. I'm not. I don't. In fact, I don't think he would be. I think he'd be a down the list candidate, but he's being mentioned. That's your point, was he's being talked about a lot. So you think it affected his team. I don't think that he's LSU's top candidate. You know, I think also Florida may take a look at him, but similar type deal. You know, they hired Billy Napier from Louisiana, and that bombed. Are they going to want to hire another coach from that state? So, you know, I'm by no means saying he's a top candidate, but his name is being mentioned, and there are other jobs that he's going to be one of those guys whose name is going to come up for a lot of these different openings.
I know you'll make your SEC parlay picks, but I've heard people, this is not SEC, but I've heard people or someone say that SMU could beat Miami tomorrow. That's been a trendy pick.
Yeah, I think Miami, again, lost a lot of cachet when they fell at home to Virginia Tech. Not Virginia Tech, but to Louisville. Virginia Tech wasn't going to beat them. But I still think that that's a good football team. I think they'll beat SMU, but, you know, that's why they play them.
In the SEC here, you could make an argument that Auburn, Kentucky could be loser leaves town, maybe. I still think Auburn has more leeway with their schedule, but you just never know what the ADs are thinking. And then Oklahoma, Tennessee is a playoff elimination game. Oklahoma has a tougher schedule remaining, but Tennessee has Vandy left, which would also be an elimination game if they beat Oklahoma. But you got an elimination game there. And then Vandy, it's crazy how all the – for the majority of our life, we've known Vandy as the doormat of the SEC. Now they're inching closer and closer to the playoff. And even though Texas has the better roster, I just think Vandy's going to win because they're the more complete team. I mean, I'm not saying they're a complete team like Ohio State, Indiana, or us. I'm just saying that they play together. You know, they don't have that one glaring weakness. I mean, I think they have a good chance to go into Austin and win.
Yeah, I do too. In fact, I You know, like you said, I'll make my SEC point spread predictions later in the show, but I, based on what I've seen from the two teams, I think Vanderbilt's better than Texas. I don't think, in my mind, there's any doubt about that, but can they go into Austin and pull it off? You know, they couldn't come into Tuscaloosa and win, so can they go on the road to Austin and do it? We'll find out, but I think Vanderbilt's a better football team. Hey, great call, Corey. Appreciate you, man.
Good talk to you, Gary. Roll Tide.
Yeah, good talking to you. 9:28, we'll take a timeout. We'll come back with Adam Amin from Fox Sports. He's on the call for Panthers, Packers. Bryce Young should be back in the lineup for Carolina after missing the loss to the Bills. We'll discuss NFL football and the World Series with Adam Amin next here on The Gary Harris Show. If you haven't already, you've got to try Tuscaloosa's unique breakfast, brunch, and lunch concept. Brick and Spoon, downtown Tuscaloosa, Timberson Square. It's fresh food with a Cajun flair featuring a full bar with build-your-own Bloody Marys and mimosas. Open daily, 7 a.m. until 2 p.m. Available for after-hours events.
For you, contact Courtney White at 205-242-5127. NorthRiverTimberCO@gmail.com. North River Timber Company.
Life doesn't wait for when your finances are in perfect order. It just happens, but no matter what surprises come your way, Alabama Credit Union will be here to help make it affordable with great personal loans, mortgages, and auto loans. They offer an easy application process and fast decisions so you can stay focused on feeling good about whatever life brings your way. Alabama Credit Union will be here to help make it affordable with great personal loans, mortgages, and auto loans. Alabama Credit Union, loans for real life. Visit alabamacu.com to learn more. Some rules and restrictions apply. See if you're eligible for membership, then join today and feel good about your money.
Tide 100.9. For more coverage of Alabama football, visit us at Tide100.9.com or download the free Tide 100.9 app.
The Crimson Tide will not be denied.
All right, 9:31. Welcome back into the Gary Harris Show. In studio this morning, no Alabama game this weekend, so not at Innisfree Irish Pub. I'll be back there next Friday live from 9 to 11. A pleasure to be joined this week by Adam Amin, play-by-play broadcaster for Fox Sports, on the call this Sunday for Panthers at Packers. Ought to be a good one on Fox. Good morning, Adam.
Good morning, my friend. How are you?
Doing great. Good to have you. You are getting very familiar with the with the Carolina Panthers. So, and good news for Carolina. Bryce Young should be back. Packers are, you know, seeming to. Phone gremlins. All right, we'll get Adam back. What right back up there? I think that's him probably calling right back in. So, these phone gremlins, when they strike, they never strike until I get a guess. Let's try this again. It's Halloween, so the phone gremlins are out in full force, Adam.
Sorry about that, my friend. I think we're getting some ghosts and maybe some spiders walking around here in the neighborhood while I'm going home. So.
All right, well, we got you back. So anyway, Bryce Young comes back, a Packers team that certainly is one of the favorites in the NFC. Good matchup, a noon kickoff in Green Bay. How do you see this one playing out?
Well, you know, Green Bay's coming off a game where Andy Dalton had to step in and they, in the process of, you know, running into a buzzsaw, at least the team that looked like one in Buffalo, they lost a couple of offensive linemen. They lost a key linebacker last week. So trying to get healthy is the big thing this week. And obviously not having Bryce Young last week after he had such great momentum the previous few games. You know, they had won three straight with Bryce at quarterback for the first time in his NFL career. He was playing very sharp football. Now, granted, not playing the best defenses by any means. You know, Dallas is not a great defense. Miami, as we saw last night, continues to struggle on the defensive end. But they were put in situations where Bryce had to be very good. Mm-hmm. And I think he has been very good, especially in these two-minute situations. You know, late in games, he was great against Dallas down the wire. So he's brought such an invigorated feeling to this Panthers offense, which has looked really good. And the running game was very solid for a couple of weeks. I'll be curious how they try to turn their run game around. They didn't have a great game last week against the Bills defense. But they have a couple of backs. You know, Chuba Hubbard's been trying to get a little healthier. Rico Dowdle's been a nice revelation. They didn't really use him a whole lot, probably in the way that he would want, or that maybe even Dave Canales, the head coach and play caller, would want. So we'll see how they adjust this week.
Packers would like to get their run game going as well. I mean, Jacobs is scoring touchdowns, but he's not churning out the yards. What's the holdup there, do you think?
You know, that was one of the first questions we asked Matt LaFleur yesterday. He goes, like, everything looks good. Jordan Love is playing great football. You know, you could argue that Jordan is playing as good as anybody at the position right now. I mean, he's just been so in command. They have a passing game at all three levels. They extend their run game with it. They have a good intermediate game. They're not afraid to take shots downfield. They have good yards after catch. So the pass game is not really a concern at all. But this run game, because of where their offensive line has been, I think that's what they've been most concerned about. The right side of their offensive line has always had some consistency issues. Some years it's been the left side of their offensive line. They are trying to figure out where Josh Jacobs fits in. How are they going to adjust their offensive line playing some of the defenses that they've played lately? We got into like some really deep discussions about like offensive line splits and first step quickness, and it really got, you know, that's how deeply Matt LaFleur thinks about the run game. And I feel like that's been a real focus for them, because Jacobs is having he's on pace for another 1,000-yard season. But when you look at his yards per carry, something like 4.5 last year, which was a little better than league average. This year, it's like 3.5, which is about a yard worse than league average. So I think there's some explosiveness that's being lost in the run game. I don't think their running backs have not had a 20-yard run this season. None of their running backs have had one. So they're just really missing a couple of things. He said, I think this was the easiest way for a layman like me to understand. It's a lot of little things that are now compounding into big things in the run game that are causing some problems.
Last night we had the Ravens play the Dolphins down in Miami. I guess it's an example of the roster the Ravens have, that they've continued to be the favorite in the NFC North, even with the terrible start they got off to. But they've won two in a row, and then last night with Lamar back, it just changes that team immediately. And do you think, because the Steelers still, you know, lead the division, do you think the Ravens are the favorite in the NFC North?
Well, they're getting healthier, and I heard, you know, the guys, Al and Kirk, talk about this during the game last night, where their schedule is very favorable going forward, because they've had to play so far, right? They've had to play take out the divisional opponents, because the AFC North is always a tough contest. But they've had to play Buffalo, Detroit, the Chiefs, the Rams, an up-and-coming Bears team that they beat last week and held Caleb Williams in check, although I don't think he played that poorly. And they played the Texans, and they beat them. You know, they ended up losing to the Texans in a strange game, right? And I know that was the first game that Lamar was out. So Lamar coming back obviously makes a huge difference. Minnesota hasn't been playing as well as I think people expected. You got the Jets. You know, you got New England, which is going to be a tough game. You got the Packers and Steelers again. I just feel like this next stretch of about a month gives this Ravens group a chance to kind of settle in. I think last night was probably the perfect game for Lamar to come back against the Dolphins defense that's been leaky at times. Obviously, you know, the whole emotional factor of it being essentially a homecoming back in Miami for him as well. But I think last night was probably the best situation to put Lamar into. And as the defense gets a little healthier, as Lamar gets settled back in, yeah, I do think that this is going to be a team that looks a little bit more like the team we expected to see 2 months ago when they broke camp, right? I feel like this is probably going to be a team that kind of progresses back to the mean, so to speak.
And for the Dolphins, the boos were raining down last night in that second half. That first half, I thought, though, kind of epitomized their season. I was able to watch some of it, and I thought they controlled the first half. I thought they outplayed the Ravens. But you're down there three times. You miss a field goal. You have to kick two field goals instead of getting touchdowns. I thought they had a bad call on Ollie Gordon for tripping that cost a 35-yard reception to Waddle. And you've doubled them in total yardage, and you're down 14-6 at the half, and the writing was on the wall. And in the second half, they did not play well. But this Dolphins team, maybe last week, you know, what they did to the Falcons, you're thinking, well, maybe they're going to get on a roll, and then it went right back to bad. A lot of bad football last night.
Yeah, not pretty. And you know, the red zone inefficiencies are something that I always seem to pay attention to, because this is such an offensive-minded league. You know, scoring across the league has been up close to like...
All right, phone, it is Halloween. The ghost and the goblins are getting us big time. My goodness, and we're going to finish this conversation with Adam Amin. Spooky or not, we're going to finish, unless his phone goes down. Chase is getting back up, I hope. I'm telling you, I'm on a mission now. All right, let's try this. I see Chase. You ready to go, Chase? We're going to try it again. All right. Adam, I'm on a mission. We're gonna finish this segment. Halloween or
we're
not.
We're gonna muscle. Listen, you and I are gonna muscle through, much like the Dolphins had to muscle through. That
yeah,
game last
yeah.
Night,
but well, let me ask you
yeah,
this.
Go ahead.
While we're on the Dolphins, obviously the financial commitment is made to Tua. The owner likes McDaniel, but when your fans are raining down booze on you, can they hold pat with this, or do you think the trades are coming? Is McDaniel's job in jeopardy after last night? Where do you think the Dolphins go?
I mean, what we saw an Adam Schefter report not too long ago that said something along the lines of, you know, there's no changes to be made right now. I think I could see this team waiting until December to make a move. I would hate to think of it like this. I don't want to be this cynical version of myself when it comes to the league, but you know, they have a trip to Madrid coming up. I would be fascinated to see if that's the last game that McDaniel coaches. You know, you could let him play out the season knowing that this is probably not a playoff team. So, you know, do you just kind of ride out the rest of the year? Do you wait until the last couple of weeks, the last month, and see who could fill in? Do you have an interim in mind? Do you have somebody that you'd feel comfortable with running the offense? I don't know how this is going to play out exactly, but I know NFL teams have had a lot of different methodologies in terms of how they want to approach this. So I don't think he's the coach next year. I think that's the only thing I feel confident saying right now, because especially an organization like the Dolphins that has had its fair share of ups and downs when it comes to personnel, both players and coaches over the years. I'm not sure what kind of wild card situation we're walking into about how they're going to approach the coaching scenario.
All right, so much parity in the league. We know that. A lot of good teams. I'm not sure there is a dominant team, but so yeah. Far, if there's been a dominant team on paper in terms of statistics, it would be the Indianapolis Colts. Daniel Jones got out of New York, and he's now Danny Dimes. What do you make of the Colts? And you know, they have, I would say, probably had a pretty favorable schedule to this point. Can they continue to play at this pace, or is this a little bit of fool's gold?
I don't think it's fool's gold. I don't know if they can be, you know, the most efficient offense in this century, because that's what all the metrics are telling you right now, all the expected points above average and, you know, some of the deep dive stuff that we might look into. Like on a play-to-play basis, they're one of the best offenses we've seen in the last 25 years.
Right.
They just make the most of every play, whether it's in the run game or the pass game. They make the most of every play. How do you, is it sustainable? I don't think this level is sustainable. I think a high quality of play, which they have shown all year long, is very sustainable. I think they're good enough. I think Daniel Jones has been to the playoffs, and he did it in a system with an organization and probably, frankly, with a head coach that has had a lot of ups and downs, you know, and Brian Daboll, he kind of had to navigate through that. He had to navigate through some Joe Judge years as well. So he's kind of seen a lot of the ups and downs of everything. I think Shane Steichen is a legitimately good offensive coordinator. I think that can't be overstated, because he comes from that, you know, Philadelphia tree, the Nick Sirianni style. Like we, you know, for as much hate as the Eagles might get because they're a championship level football team, they do things uniquely. He's made the most out of Jalen Hurts, and Shane comes off that same tree, and I think he looked at Daniel Jones and said, there's something clearly there. If you can take the Giants to the postseason and, you know, have some of the organizational struggles that he had to deal with over not just 1 year, but a few years, then there has to be something there. And I think Daniel's always been a high quality individual. He's always been very even keeled. I think he was just looking, like, I look at Mac Jones in San Francisco, and I think that's another great example, Garrett. I've done a couple of his starts already this year with the Niners, and he told us, like, this is the system I always wanted to play in. Talking about Kyle Shanahan's offense, this was the system I always wanted to be a part of, where I feel like it's set up for success for the quarterback and allows me some freedom and allows me to use the talents that I have. Daniel Jones is a really good physical player, right? Mm-hmm. Like, he runs the ball effectively. You know, he's a big body. He can maneuver in the pocket. He's not immobile. And I think this offense has really opened things up for him. And obviously the personnel has to be good. You know, the young receivers are good. Jonathan Taylor is a really good running back. All that stuff. But I think if you're looking at Daniel as the catalyst for why this is happening, it does make a lot of sense. And how many of these stories have we seen in the last 3-4 years, right, Gary? And I'm not saying that it's sustainable for 2-3-4 seasons. That's where real greatness comes in. But Sam Darnold going to Kevin O'Connell, Jalen Hurts turning into a legitimate quarterback. Now we're starting to see the sustained success of all that. Mac Jones going into a new system. Caleb Williams getting a new head coach. Like, this happens. It's not rocket science, but it is a little bit of science to it. So I'm not shocked that it's happening, but it's been a pleasant surprise to watch them. I'm actually headed to Berlin next week, and I'll have the Colts and the Falcons coming up next week.
Oh, wow. You got that assignment. When you do a game like that, when will you leave, Adam?
I'm actually leaving on Monday.
Okay.
Monday night to get in Tuesday afternoon. So you kind of feel, you know, you get past some of the jet lag and all of that, and hopefully feel a little bit more comfortable with the time difference, time change. So I'm not sure what I'm going to be doing at, you know, 5 p.m. or whatever the heck it is. On Friday afternoon, so we'll see if I can connect with you.
I'll check with you and see.
If today's any indication, maybe the connections might be better in Berlin.
Yeah, we might get better service out of Berlin.
Right.
All right, I want to get to the World Series, and boy, Toronto, we like to use the term resilience in sports all the time, but boy, they really are resilient. We went through the payroll of the Yankees, and after that game three, epic loss. I thought it was over. I said it won't even get back to Canada. And now they go back to Toronto, and they're up 3-2. They got the Dodgers on the ropes. Of course, Yamamoto is going to be on the bump for L.A. tonight, and he's been marvelous. But this Toronto team, man, I knew they were good. I don't follow them that closely. I mean, I knew about the bats. I guess I didn't know the pitching was as strong as it's been. They're a great team, and clearly the favorite to win the World Series.
They're a great team, and I think that's the general idea. And listen, I understand why, right? Like, it's no blame on an American baseball fan, myself included, who just doesn't get to or doesn't seek out Blue Jays baseball most of the year. I went to a White Sox game in June, and it was against the Blue Jays, and I asked two Toronto fans who happened to be sitting in front of me, and I said, hey, sorry to bug you guys. What's good about your team? Why is your team so good? Because they were battling in first place with the Yankees at that point, you know, and it's like, all right, this is a legit team. And they all said, like, well, they got some bats, but the sum of their lineup is really, really good. So their lineup construction was really good. They felt really good about their starting pitching at the time. Barrios and Gausman and, you know, Treya Savage hadn't even really gotten on anybody's radar at this point, understandably. So he's a 22-year-old who started the year in, you know, single A ball or whatever it was. So I understand that he's not on a lot of people's radar, but they felt good about the product that they had and about the sum of the parts. And by the time you get to the postseason, you look up and go, yeah, that all makes sense. The sum of their parts is really good. They have bats that you still have to be scared of in that lineup, right? Like, but like, obviously, Vlad is a scary hitter.
Oh, yeah.
George Springer has been an elite postseason hitter and is a great leadoff power hitter. You know, they got Bichette back. During this postseason run, Barger was a really quality at bat. Alejandro Kirk is a really good defensive catcher who's got pop in his bat. They make a lot of productive outs, even when they do make outs. So all these metrics, all these stats, all these kind of anecdotal things that I hear, I look up in October and I go, oh, that's what they're talking about, because now you're finally watching them on a game-to-game basis.
Exactly.
And you're seeing how quality is. And then this kid comes in at 22 and puts together one of the great postseason runs in the history of the game, and you just go, wow, they had consistency, and then they got a little spark right at the right time. Now, yeah, Yamamoto's going tonight. He's been unreal in the postseason. This series is not over. I thought this would go six or seven, and I'm not shocked it's gone six or seven. I still think there's a real chance for this thing to go to a game seven, which, you know, for my Fox friends, I would love, you know, just for their sake. But I think this is not over by any means, but I'm not shocked that the Blue Jays are in the position that they're in based off of everything you kind of read cumulatively over the year and then see it in execution. You go, yeah, this is a legitimately good baseball team. And I do think that the Fox crew at one point was kind of dispelling the David versus Goliath conversation because, yeah, the Dodgers are the reigning world champs, but Toronto is the number one seed in a really good American
league. That's right.
So. Yeah, it's not. This is a matchup of a couple of titans, and it's been fun to watch.
Yeah, and Dodgers trying to pull the repeat, which is very difficult to do.
Very hard. Yep.
Final topic, because we see this in, you know, with the NFL quite a bit, or have with, you know, NFL owners hiring coaches from college that have not had any NFL experience as a player or as assistant coach. We don't see it much in baseball. But Tony Vitello is making that leap. Buster Posey hired him to be the Giants manager. I've watched him up close here in the SEC. Been a phenomenal head coach because he took over a Tennessee program that was, you know, not that great and has taken them to the top. Charismatic, in-your-face style, aggressive, you know, style of baseball. That's a big but. How do you feel like this will play out with Vitello managing the Giants?
I have there's a couple different schools of thought in this because, I've seen it happen in the NBA. I have seen it in Major League Baseball a little bit with, guys who haven't been coaches that kind of get tossed into managerial positions. I think Aaron Boone's probably the most notable example of that, being with the Yankees for a decade now. But, excuse me, Gary, I think I worry a little bit because of situational awareness. You know, what are you going to tell Aaron Boone? You know, he's been in a lot of big moments in his playing career, right? Mm-hmm. Or had been in a lot of big moments mm-hmm. in his playing career. So if nothing else, you're a player, even if you're a young player who doesn't really know who Aaron Boone is, and you and I are at the age, Gary, where we kind of look at some of the younger kids and they don't really know who the guys that we grew up on or the guys that I grew up on. Like, it's a little jarring at this point in my life to see that, but that's the case. Even if they don't know exactly who Aaron Boone is in terms of his playing career, they look up Aaron Boone's numbers and go, oh my God, this guy played this many games and he hit that home run in the postseason. He did this and he did that. Like, that's very easy to be able to latch onto. I don't know if it's as easy to latch onto this for a San Francisco Giant. Now, the other school of thought to this is, well, David Ross and Aaron Boone, guys like this have gotten thrown into the managerial duties and have done a pretty decent job because the personnel was good and because maybe the front office had a little bit more to do with the day-to-day operations and the lineups and stuff like that. And the manager doesn't really have to worry as much. He has to worry more about the tactical nature of what they're doing. So if Tony, who by a lot of accounts, like you talked about, has a tactical nature to him, the way he plays, the way he manages, the way he, you know, runs with his guys, whatever it might be. And he's a good talker, which helps too. I think there's something there. This is a major high risk, high reward experiment. Mm-hmm. And I will be fascinated to watch it play out. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, the Giants play the Yankees on opening day next year.
Oh, wow. that'll be fun. Yeah, I'm interested to watch it, too, because I think one thing Tony Vitello pointed out in his press conference, Adam, real quick thought on this, is he's right. There's been so much lost in baseball. It's a power, but fundamentals, you know, not a lot of teams, you know, some things simple as sliding and stealing bases and hitting runs, you know, we don't see that. And he brought it up. So you feel like he might employ some tactical stuff that has kind of been lost from.
Maybe I think so, Garrett. And listen, at the end of the day, everything comes back. Everything is cyclical in baseball, mm-hmm. especially in sports. I think in life and culture, everything is a little cyclical. And at some point, we are going to get a little bit away from the three true outcome stuff. We are going to get away from some of these things because teams, I think the Cincinnati Reds, I think the Arizona Diamondbacks, these are great examples of teams that said, well, we don't have four sluggers that can change the outcome of game with one swing every night. we have one or two guys, maybe one that can do that once a week. So let's figure out how to generate and manufacture runs. And Arizona and Cincinnati took full advantage of the new rule changes a couple of years ago and decided, well, we're just going to run you and we're going to be that type of team. And maybe that's where the Giants take their first step towards something like that. But we'll see. I'll be curious and very interested to see it.
He's Adam Amin. He's one of the best in the business, and he'll be on the call on Sunday at noon for Carolina at Green Bay on Fox and then in Berlin next weekend. Thank you so much, Adam.
Thank you, my friend. I appreciate it.
All right, we'll come back and wrap up hour number one of the Gary Harris Show right after this.
Of the game, we'll do SEC parlay picks presented by Brian Parton Construction. We're also going to talk with Thomas Morris. Who is he? He's Ty Simpson's personal quarterback coach. We'll talk with him about the development of Ty Simpson. We'll talk to Brent Beard. We'll talk to Lee Sterling for ParamountSports.com. Going to get you ready for a busy weekend of college football, all starting at 2 p.m. here on The Game with Ryan Fowler on Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, your home of Alabama Crimson Tide Sports.
The longest running sports program.
Talk about a great play.
From September 1st to November 30th, Depend is donating 25 cents to the Prostate Cancer Foundation for Depend Shields Guard's Real Fit products purchased in the U.S. up to a maximum of $300,000 or in Mississippi.
Los Tarascos has been serving Mexican favorites like burritos, fajitas, and quesadillas since 1999. Their new location is at 4100 Owen Parkway in Northport. And of course, you can find Los Tarascos in Tuscaloosa at 110 Skyland Boulevard. The bar areas feature big screen television so you can enjoy your favorite sporting events. Los Tarascos features daily happy hours.
The game, the Tide Post Game Show is powered by Pearl River Resort, DCH Regional Medical Center, Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram, and Two Dimes. What does it mean to advertise and do your marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa? Melissa started her business in 2014. What would you say to someone considering Town Square Media Tuscaloosa?
My experience with Town Square Media has been awesome, and I would definitely recommend it to anyone. I think that this is the first time in my marketing experience that I've been able to see my return on investment. I would definitely say in the past that has not been the case. In this, I like knowing that that's 100%. A lot of the marketing we've done has been radio. You guys have so much more to offer than that, whether it's, you know, websites from targeted marketing to radio. You are kind of a one-stop shop, and it makes doing marketing so much easier. So I would definitely recommend it.
For more info on marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa, call 205-345-7200 or click on Advertise with Us on our website.
Tide 100.9 Tuscaloosa weather.
Sunshine in full supply today. The high for this afternoon around 63. Cold again tonight, clear with a low at 38. Or tomorrow, partially sunny, the high 64. Sunday, a few isolated showers around with a high at 62. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 44 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
You're listening to The Gary Harris Show.
Goal line in, touchdown, Alabama!
A new home for Alabama sports.
Tide 100.9.
And streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Out of here as they do every Friday. First hour getaway song. This hour has been brought to you by Alabama Credit Union. Hour number two is coming up. We'll get it started with the coach, Ellis Johnson, breaking down SEC football. Another hour, the Gary Harris Show is on the way.
Tuesday, Wednesday, break my heart. Oh, Thursday, doesn't even start. It's Friday, Monday.
años.
Week 9 of the NFL kicked off with Thursday Night Football as the Ravens cruised past the Dolphins 28-6. Lamar Jackson returned to action and ended 18 of 23 for 204 yards and 4 touchdowns. Tua Tagovailoa did not throw a touchdown pass. He ended 25 of 40 for 261 yards and an interception.
This isn't a game where, you know, we're discouraged. It's one of those games where you wish you could have done, you know, more or whatever you could to help the guys go out there and execute the way we wanted to execute offensively.
In the NBA, the Spurs start the season 5-0 for the first time in franchise history as they beat the Heat 107-101. Thunder stay undefeated with a 127-108 win over the Wizards.
The Tide Tailgate Show is presented by Pearl River Resort,
DCH Regional Medical Center,
Two Dimes Tuscaloosa,
and Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram.
The Gary Harris Show. UCM host Tider Insider TV. Crimson Tide Kickoff. Play-by-play for Alabama sports and sports director for WVUA 23. It's time for the Gary Harris Show on your home for Alabama sports. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
All right, here we go. Hour number two of the Gary Harris Show. We're going to kick it off with the coach, Ellis Johnson, who couldn't be with us yesterday, so we're going to have him on this morning to break down SEC football. And fall is certainly in the air. It's Halloween, so that means every time that the calendar rolls around to Halloween, you know we're in the stretch run of the college football season. Seems like it just started yesterday, Coach, but we're down to the final stretch. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. When I was coaching, Gary, we used to say these days drag, but the weeks fly by. And it does go fast.
Yes, sir, it does. All right, we're going to focus mainly on the upcoming weekend, but I do want to touch on Alabama and Auburn from last weekend. And, of course, you knew South Carolina was going to, they were going to rally and had a great crowd and an opportunity to not necessarily change their season, but certainly give them a big highlight. It was going to be a field storm game. They were right there, but as we see in this league, the margin for error being so small, there's a fine line, and the teams that are winning games because they find a way to win these games, and the teams that are losing can't get over the hump. You know, we saw it with Mississippi State and Texas as well, but Alabama kind of got off the deck and pulled this one out, and a huge win for the Crimson Tide to get them to 5-0 in the SEC, and when you're having a season like South Carolina, you already got the students lined up ready to storm the field, and it doesn't go your way.
Yeah, I tell you, they've got about four players that make them a tough out, but they're not playing a complete game. But I think the bigger factor, Gary, Alabama just came off four ranked teams in a row.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you look in there and you got Vanderbilt, Missouri. Those two football teams are really good, and two of those games were on the road. And I think there was a little mental fatigue when they came to Columbia, and they played good enough to overcome it. The thing at the end of the game was a heady play by Alabama and just an absolute gut punch for South Carolina with the fumble and all that. I mean, that's the one thing you can't do in that situation with that field zone and clock and you got the lead. You can't lose the football. I thought Carolina got after Simpson pretty well, but his poise, he never threw a pick, and he eventually made enough big plays later in the game to get him. But, they threw him a little off. He wasn't as productive as he has been. But the game didn't surprise me because Carolina, I mean, I wouldn't be shocked if they go over there and upset Ole Miss. I don't think they will, but they're just that kind of football team, and they've got a few weapons.
Yeah, they do. And Lenora Sellers, I thought, played one of his better games. But Alabama survives, and now they're set up for this stretch run. They had three games and a bye before they went on this stretch, and then they get through five games in 5 weeks, four against ranked teams. They win them all, and now they've got the LSU, Oklahoma, Eastern Illinois, Iron Bowl stretch, three of those games at home, the Iron Bowl on the road. So Alabama's put itself in position. Now, they haven't finished the deal, but they put themselves in position for a special season.
Absolutely. I think that first game of the year maybe had people puzzled, but, I mean, since then, they've been lights out. They ain't been perfect, but I think they've been at least one of the three best teams in the conference the way they've been playing here in the last 4 or 5 weeks. To me, there's four teams that got a shot at it, A&M, Alabama, Georgia, and Ole Miss. I don't think the rest of them will be able to sneak back in.
Let's get to Auburn because you know, they really needed that one at Arkansas. And you look up there, you know, they're kind of in control of the game, but then second quarter starts to go against them a little bit. Then right before half, Arnold throws an awful interception. I mean, high school quarterback just didn't see the guy at all and throws an easy pick six, and all of a sudden they're down 21-10. And Freeze finally made the quarterback change, went to Ashton Daniels, and he showed some – he gave him a spark. He wasn't afraid to throw the ball down the field. And, of course, the Auburn defense in the second half just turned the game around. They forced three straight turnovers, including a pick six and another interception that set up a touchdown. And Auburn gets their first win, 33-24. And now they've got Kentucky coming in, a game that on paper they should win. Is this something that you expect to see with the quarterback? Freeze has said that he's going to – it's been a competition this week, so he hasn't said who he's going to start. But you have to make the change, don't you?
I would, and not necessarily because he's the best or the better or whatever, but I don't mean to put it all on him, but Arnold's been one of the biggest problems this year. Turning the football over, taking sacks, doing it with things at the wrong time. I mean, I think had a sack in a red zone. Well, it was an overtime game. That's effectively a red zone play. And takes a sack on the first or second play. You just can't do stuff like that. And you've already mentioned the pick. I mean, it's just nothing that I see where he's bringing things to the team. And the scary thing for Auburn is they still, I think, rushed for 230, but they still can't throw the ball effectively. And Ashton took better care of it, so he wasn't all that productive, but he took better care of the football. Arkansas is arguably the worst defense in the conference. And the turnovers were huge. It was 4-1. But it's the same old story. Auburn's defense is carrying them. And if they quit turning the ball over and getting negative plays and so forth, I think Daniels gives them the best chance to do that.
Speaking of quarterback changes, Kentucky is not a very good team, but Calzada, who was the Auburn transfer, didn't do much at all. And he got benched. And they brought the freshman in, Boley. And, I mean, they gave up 50-something to Tennessee, but this kid throws it all over the yard. I mean, he's slinging it around. I think he threw for well over 300 yards last week against the Vols, and I guess makes them dangerous on offense, which is something they haven't been, but now all of a sudden their defense can't slow people down. So how do you see this Kentucky and Auburn matchup?
Yeah, that was kind of the story of the game. Everything had been defense, and offense, trying to just make sure to take care of the ball. And against Tennessee was the total opposite. So I don't know who to expect is coming into Auburn. But I do think Auburn has a better roster than Kentucky. They just haven't been performing that way. So I think it's going to be a tough football game. And I don't know. I can't hardly pick it because it's just Auburn is so unpredictable right now. But I think the defense that Durkin's been putting out there, I'd be shocked if that kid can throw the ball around on them the way he did against Tennessee.
All right, I want to ask you about one more game from last weekend, and then we're also going to get into the LSU situation a little bit. But talking about, you know, losing, you know, winners find a way to win and losers find a way to lose, and I don't mean that literally, but Mississippi State, my gosh, man, when you're up 38-21 at home, 9 or 10 minutes to go in the game, you got to give Texas credit, but you got to help the other team. They're not going to just come back and beat you unless you help them. And for Mississippi State to have played that well and be in that position, and then, you know, it's a comedy of errors. You know, they get the roughing the passer, and then, you know, they're still up a touchdown, and they let the kid bring the punt back 81 yards. And then at the end, they still have the ball. They still have possession, and you know, they can't block Texas up front. And then they get in the overtime, and the backup quarterback comes in for Texas after Manning went out and throws a touchdown pass, and then they never even sniffed the goal line. It just stings. And I'm not even a Mississippi State fan, but, you know, they let it get away against Tennessee. They let it get away against Florida. And then this just total collapse in the fourth quarter. I mean, that's just almost inexcusable to me for a coaching staff to not be able to manage the game to get you to the finish line when you got that big a lead in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, well, I think it's kind of what you said a while ago. When you've been losing football games, it's almost like somebody out there that doesn't believe they can win. You get two or three of them in your lineup like that, and they almost looked to make a mistake. The rough and the passing was the one, I think, that where they shut themselves in the foot the most. I don't know if you could say it was coaches controlling the game. I just don't think they make the plays at the end of the game. And I agree with you, it's a gut-wrenching loss. And who is Texas? I don't know who Texas is the last 3 weeks. I have no clue.
Hey, they're fortunate to have the record they've got, I'll tell you that.
Very. And I don't trust them all the way down the line. You know, through the season, they definitely, in my opinion, don't have the consistency to make it through the championship game of the SEC or get in it. And then as far as the playoffs, I mean, I just don't see it. I don't know what's wrong with them, but they have absolutely no consistency anymore.
All right, Coach, before we get to the games that we're going to look at for this weekend, I got to ask you about the LSU situation because it's brought into focus all of the things that are going on. We got 11 coaching vacancies, 8 in the Power Four. But this LSU situation has, as I said, really brought into focus how bad these contracts are from an institutional standpoint with these buyouts, how the agents are leveraging things. Of course, in Louisiana, this is business as usual. The governor comes out and basically fires the AD at a press conference, says there's no way he's going to let Scott Woodward hire the new coach. So they worked out an exit strategy for Woodward. You don't have a coach. You don't have an AD. You got the governor involved, and it's bringing in, like I said, a lot of attention to how did we get here? I mean, it's one thing to hire a coach and pay him a lot of money, but, you know, Scott Woodward hired Jimbo Fisher. They had to pay him $70-plus million at A&M. They're going to have to pay Brian Kelly $50-plus million at LSU. And I know from you're a coach, so you don't, you know, you certainly don't resent coaches getting as much as they can get. But what's happening now, too, is, you know, at least Brian Kelly had a resume when they signed him. I mean, he'd been in a BCS championship game. He'd been to a couple playoffs at Notre Dame. We're overpaying coaches based on the fact that if you're in the SEC and you hire a guy even from a lower level, you're going to pay him top dollar because you don't want the perception to be, well, we don't believe in this guy. It's just kind of – all this has just kind of gotten out of whack, hasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it'd be kind of like a fairy tale solution, but I think the coaches earn the money that they pay them. What I don't think is smart is these payouts when they get fired.
Right.
And I don't know what solution, you know, maybe put a 3-year maximum payout on it or something like that. But, you know, if you are in charge of a major college football team these days and you're getting into playoffs or you're playing at that level, you're probably a big time CEO if you look at it in the business world. So I don't think the money they're getting is out of whack. I think that these contracts are written stupid. Mm-hmm. But if you get out in the middle of the water, you're one of them trying to hire coaches. You get out in the middle of the water, you better catch a fish or you're going to have an egg on your face. So that's where they get into these things. They pick their guy, and then all of a sudden the guy kind of plays hard to get. And the next thing you know, you've got to give him what he wants if that's who you want. And but I think it is out of hand and trying to pay players now with the NIL money and also try to pay off coaches that don't work at your school anymore. And when Olympic sports start coming in, won't take their piece of the pie. These big time payouts from the conferences, that money's going to dwindle pretty quick.
It really is. All right, let's get to the schedule. Let's start with Georgia and Florida down in Jacksonville. Of course, Billy Napier is gone. Florida is an underdog here, but you never know. You know, with when there's a coaching change, teams sometimes have some juice. Georgia is really good, but we know they're gettable this year. Any shot here that Florida could pull an upset?
I don't see it. I don't think it's because they don't have the capability. I just think Georgia plays too well in tough situations. I trust the quarterback taking care of the football. For Florida to win this game, they're going to have to get about 3 or 4 takeaways, and I don't think they can. I think Georgia will take care of the football and win the game. But it's a rival game because of the pomp and all that stuff around it, the cocktail party. It's still one everybody will watch. But I just think Georgia's too consistent for Florida.
You already mentioned South Carolina and Ole Miss a little bit. This is the kind of game that, boy, has haunted Lane Kiffin. I mean, this Ole Miss team looks like it's bound for the playoff. But, boy, you sure couldn't afford to get to stub your toe against South Carolina this weekend.
Yeah, this is a dangerous game for Ole Miss. And we talk about Alabama coming off all those stress games 4 in a row and then having to play South Carolina. Not much different for Lane. I mean, he's had a win over LSU, win over Oklahoma. But he's been through a tough stretch, and he's got to keep those kids focused because South Carolina is very dangerous.
Oklahoma at Tennessee. This is another game where Oklahoma so much promise early with their defense. But suddenly if they go into Knoxville and get beat, you know, they've still got to go to Alabama. Venables could be another one of these coaches in the crosshairs here. This is a it's a big game for the Sooners, but Tennessee's at home.
Yeah, and both of them have two losses, and this is like a death nail. If you get that third one, you're not going to the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's some scenarios where you could back in the back, but I don't think they will. Whoever loses this game, you know, that's playing for a good bowl game somewhere, and it is a really tough thing because I think both of them are really good football teams. Oklahoma had that stretch when the tier wasn't healthy is what hurt them. And in Tennessee, I think the defense has not been playing as well as they have in previous years. So both of them have their little drawbacks, if you will. I see Oklahoma putting up some points in this game. And I think defensively, if anybody can slow Tennessee down, Oklahoma's got the personnel to do it.
All right, we already talked about Texas, Coach, and, you know, give them credit. Winning at Kentucky when they had no business winning. Winning at Mississippi State when they had no business winning. Both in overtime. I mean, there's something to be said for that. They're at home. Now, they've been on the road for a while. They're at home, and that's going to be big. And even though Vanderbilt has proven they're legit, can they go into Austin and get the W?
I think they can. I think it's going to be a little bit out of favor Texas, a little bit of different because they're at home, and Vandy's coming off a pretty tough stretch. Their last three were Missouri, LSU, and Alabama. But Vandy knows who they are, and they seldom play below their talent level. They don't have the great talent level, but they got good enough talent. So, Texas to me right now does not know who they are. And I really think Vandy's got a chance here. I'm not picking the upset on this one, but I think it's going to be a really, really close game.
All right, you look on paper, and unless you're a Mississippi State or an Arkansas fan, you're really not going to get excited about Mississippi State at Arkansas. But for coaches, all these games are important. You know, Bobby Petrino wants that Arkansas job permanently. And, yeah, they've been better, but he hadn't won a game as the interim head coach. And we know Mississippi State's season could look a lot different. And now you worry about it going off the rails. But this is a big game for those two teams that are playing. It may not be big to anybody else outside of the teams and the fan bases, but the loser in this game, you know, particularly – if it's Arkansas at home, I mean, it's going to be horrible. But for Mississippi State, can they bounce back from their recent disappointment and get a road win?
I think it's really more important game for Mississippi State. To me, they've been playing pretty good football week to week to week and just missed on a couple of close ones, but they're 0-4 in the conference. Now, the thing about Arkansas, their defense is probably the worst in the conference through the whole season. But all of a sudden last week against Auburn, they turned the football over four times on offense. So, you know, they're not getting it done on that side either when you do that. Only 14 first downs with Bobby Petrino's offense. So I don't think he's done anything right now that would say they're going to try to hire him permanently. But this would be a game that both of them, you know, really need to win just because they're going – whoever loses this game is going to be in the basement of the conference.
All right, Coach. A lot of teams, four teams on bye this week, but still an all SEC versus SEC schedule. Overall, this college football season has been very entertaining. I mean, you can, you know, get on your couch early in the morning on Saturday and stay there till late at night and be entertained. But the games are great. I get it. But still, we'll close with this. Just all of the stuff that's going on with the coach firings and you know, the NIL and the portal and guys just continuing to ask for more eligibility. Now in basketball, we got guys from the G League going back to college. I think it's only a matter of time. I'd said this and Saban said it this week. Before you have an NFL player or an NBA player or Major League Baseball player whose, you know, career flames out and they want to go back to college and play, how long can we sustain what we're doing if we can't manage to get some type of rules in place to kind of protect the integrity of college sports?
I think it's going to be big trouble. And I think should have seen it coming, you know, 5 or 6 years ago. And this paid players is only one old TV thing. I think they deserve to get paid. Castrated the NCAA as an organization, and now they have no governing body, and they can talk about this so-called commission they created for the Power Four.
They hadn't done anything.
Whatever, but it doesn't have any teeth. So they always get beat in court. If they don't get something from Congress similar to the NFL, where they could have a governing body, a group of people make a rule, and if you don't follow the rule, there's a severe consequence. It's going to continue to have these problems. What I thought was going to happen was it was going to lose the parity. I've been proven wrong up to this point. I've been proven wrong because there's a lot of parity among the Power Fours because people are not able to stack debt now because of the portal. So it's making it a little bit better, you know, as far as competitive weekends and so forth. And one little thing I want to point out. We keep talking about all these SEC matchups, and it's just like every week there's some three or four, even five great matchups, ranked versus ranked. This is 2 weeks in a row, Gary. There is no ranked football teams in the Big Ten playing each other.
Jeez.
I just think it speaks to the balance of the SEC down through the lower levels of the conference as opposed to what the Big Ten has.
Coach, great stuff as always, man. We appreciate it, and we'll get you back. I guess we'll be back on Thursday next week, right?
Yes, sir.
All right, thanks, Coach.
Look forward to it.
All right, Coach Ellis Johnson, it's 10:24 here on the Gary Harris Show. We'll take a timeout. We'll be back, and we got Brett Pritchard coming up in a little bit, but let's get to this break, and we'll be right back. We can squeeze in a phone call, too, if we need to in the next segment right after this.
Alabama real-time news update from the Tuscaloosa Thread Newsroom.
Here's the Tuscaloosa Thread headline. With the U.S. Senate adjourned, it looks like SNAP benefits will end for 3.25 million Alabamians at midnight. Numerous community support groups, including Tuscaloosa Emergency Services, Salvation Army, West Alabama Food Bank, and Tuscaloosa City Schools are gearing up to assist. ABC 3340 Chief Meteorologist James Fan tells
to 95% less than brand names at hims.com/joy. That's hims.com/joy, hims.com/joy.
A national championship team covering a national championship team. The best sports talk in the state. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
All right, look out weekend. We're going to try to squeeze in a couple phone calls and a couple app messages. This is from Shan in Tuscaloosa. It used to amaze me how hard teams play when they played against Bama. But what gets me is that they don't do anything else the rest of the season, no matter if they beat Bama or not. Now I want to see how hard South Carolina is going to play going forward. They didn't even show up against Oklahoma. I guess it's just me. No, it's not you, Shan. Bama, listen, Bama's a turnaround game for everybody. And this is from Michael in Tuscaloosa from a couple of days ago. Do you think universities will ever wise up and quit offering failure to be a successful coach, a.k.a. buyout clauses to coaches who underperform based on their high salaries? I think it would be financially better to drown the contract with incentives than to have to pay to get rid of a bad coach. I think a lot of people feel that way, Michael. All right, let's get to phone calls. Listen, let's get to Steve in T-Town, and then we'll get to Cowboy. We're going to have to go pretty quick this morning. Hey, Steve.
Hey, Gary, thanks. Quick, your Adam Amin stuff is just top drawer.
Thanks.
That's great stuff. Your opinion, and your opinion only, I assume. Clark Lee, is he good enough to sustain success post-Pavia?
Well, I have to answer it this way. I think that for what Pavi has done, you don't know that you're going to find another quarterback once he's gone. Of course, I think he might be back for another year, but that's going to do for you what he's been able to do for Vanderbilt. Having said that, I think the model that's in place can sustain. I think Vanderbilt's set up to play good winning football in the new era with how they've handled the NIL and the portal and adapted to this new system. So I think they can continue to be good, Steve. Now, will they find another quarterback that so perfectly fits what they do and the persona that he brings? I don't know. But I think they're set up for success. Yeah, I do.
Well, I just what is it, up and coming? I don't hear that about Clark Lee. I don't hear his name being bandied around, any other sort of thing. And I'm not saying he's a bad coach. I'm just wondering if he's that coach.
Well, I'll just say this. What he's been able to do at Vanderbilt is unbelievable to me. I mean, when you look at what they have traditionally been, you know, maybe a pocket of success here or there with James Franklin, you know, going back to George McIntyre, there were, you know, seasons or two where they were pretty good. But he's made them, you know, they're elite right now. I mean, they're a top 10 team. Yeah. Their only loss is at Alabama, you know. Yeah, so
that's true.
But, you know, I think that Clark Lee may be overlooked because now I think a lot of people are writing this off to Jerry Kill coming over and Diego Pavia coming over. But he's still the head coach, and he's overseen this transformation from Vanderbilt being a cellar dweller to being a team that is in, let's be honest, right now they're competing for the national championship. They're at that level. So it'll be interesting, though, to see if they can sustain it.
Thank you, Eric.
Thanks, Steve. Good to hear from you. All right, let's get to Cowboy real quick here to close out the segment. What's up, Cowboy?
Oh, not much. I guess I'm going to have to be short because I had some talking points to go.
Well, I'll tell you what you can do. Yeah. If you want to call back in the final segment, you can be longer because I'll save you, you know, five, you know, longer time.
I'll try to do that.
Yeah,
I'll
do that. Because what I'm going to do, I'll get to Brett Pritchard.
Wait, what I want to talk about here in this short segment here, short amount of time, is do you think with the LSU athletic director situation, I know this is LSU politics forever and the governor, but today's, you know, deal is a little different. We'll be able to hire a coach that'll accept a very low buyout, because I believe Scott Woodard's one of the best ADs in the country, and if Alabama had an opening, he'd be my number one candidate, because that guy swings for whales and he gets them.
Okay, you want an AD that's going to have to pay a coach $75 million, $73 million, 50-something million?
No. He brought two coaches to LSU that has produced national championships. Kim Mulvaney and Jay Johnson, two out of the last 3 years in baseball.
Mm-hmm.
The guy's a good AD. I know he's getting crucified for Jimbo, but Ross Bjork's the guy that really put the whammy number on Jimbo's contract in the fall of 2021, when it was obvious that Ed Orgeron was getting fired at LSU.
Okay.
Go back and do your history on that one.
Oh, I know who hired him. That's all I said. I didn't talk about any. I said who hired him. That's all I said.
Yeah,
Jimbo got hired by Woodward, and Brian Kelly got hired by Woodward. That's all I said.
Right. No, I'm just saying, nationally, the guy's getting crucified, but I'd put him up against any ADs in the country and running. I mean, he's had those two people won two national championships. The baseball coach has won two national championships, and the basketball women's coach has won one. You know, that's pretty good.
All right, well, call me back if you get a chance. We got to hit the break. All right, we'll come back with Brett Pritchard with the Auburn Report.
Opens bright and early at 7 a.m. and the race kicks off at 8. 2 days of community, energy, and inspiration. Don't miss it. The Hunter Whitley Butterfly Initiative. Running for hope, flying for change.
Covering University of Alabama sports, as well as the national and local scene as well. The Gary Harris Show. Only on Tide 100.9. And streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
All right, 10:35, time for the Auburn Report with Brett Pritchard. And I think we all knew last week that Auburn was guaranteed its first win of the season at Arkansas when Brett picked the Hogs. So, hey, man, it worked, pal. Hey, whatever you got to do to get a win, right?
Yes. I mean, you know, that's kind of where I was going with it. It worked, Gary, like you said. I mean, I may just pick Kentucky and Mercer and everybody else left on the schedule. Whatever we got to do to change this bad mojo.
Well, you got a spark, and listen, when you're 0-4 in the league, that's what you're looking for. And you know, first half's going pretty well, and then all of a sudden, Arnold throws a horrible pick six. I mean, you don't expect a sophomore quarterback in high school to make that throw, and he did. And suddenly you're down 21-10. the switch is made to Ashton Daniels. I don't know that Ashton Daniels played great, Brett, but I tell you what he did do. He threw the ball. He got it out of his hand. He wasn't afraid to make a play. And then the defense kind of continued doing what it had been doing. They get a spark from Daniels, get a pick six, get another interception that sets up a score, get a fumble, three straight turnovers, and Auburn pulls away and wins that game in the second half. So I guess you get momentum, but yet this week, and I understand we've talked about this, how NIL works and all this thing. I thought Freeze would come out and just say, Ashton Daniels, is there a starter? But he said, no, it's a quarterback competition. So what's going to happen at quarterback tomorrow night in the Kentucky game?
You know, you would think Ashton Daniels would be the guy that's going to, you know, be the lead moving forward. I think Hugh Freeze, though, has a part of him that struggles to cut completely free of Jackson Arnold. And he said that multiple times after practice this week to us. And, you know, he just keeps kind of hovering out there saying, well, we're going to evaluate. And both guys played well, blah, 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 and this kind of stuff. And you just cannot really kind of seem to move on. But I think a full game from Ashton Daniels inside Jordan Hare tomorrow night could be what the doctor ordered for maybe him from a mindset as a coach and whatever. So I just think, you know, looking at it from that standpoint, I want to see a full game of Ashton Daniels. You just said it. I mean, his numbers is not going to blow anybody away, but he came out and did what he needed to do. He led Auburn down the field. Now, thought the red zone play calling was not very good. That's not on Ashton Daniels. You know, you gotta be a little bit better, you know, from a play calling standpoint than Auburn was. But you did get points because Alex McPherson was on a heater, and he was able to kick six field goals, tied a school record, and needed all of them. So, but getting points out of drives was key. And again, I'm just going to say this. If Jackson Arnold's the quarterback, I don't know if Auburn even has an opportunity to kick any field goals. I hate to be that way, but it's true.
Yeah, I want to get to McPherson in a moment because this is a great story. Another thing that Auburn did that I know the fans have been just dying to see is they got Jeremiah Cobb really going, the downhill running game. Of course, we know Arkansas defensively is not very stout, but still, he went for a 153. And when you can run the football in this league, it sets a lot of other things up.
Absolutely, it does. I think, Gary, that's the tale as old as time with football. If you can run the football, you can control the game. And, you know, Jeremiah Cobb is a tremendous running back. I don't think he's a guy that needs to carry it 30, 35 times a game, but he does need 20 touches. You know, whether that's throwing it to him out of the backfield or him running it however you want to run him, he's got to get his touches. And now did you get Darrell Robinson back, you know, healthy? That I think that's huge. I think Omar Mattson needs probably 5 to 7 carries a game. You know, with a combination of those guys, Auburn's got a good running attack. And I think we saw in the first game against Baylor that if defenses are going to show you that look, that Auburn can just line up, run the ball. And for some reason, Auburn got away from that, you know, against Oklahoma, against Texas A&M. And even against Georgia. So Auburn's got to run the ball. I think now maybe with Ashton Daniels, you'll see more of a running attack with Jeremiah Cobb, who definitely can give you 20 solid carries a game.
All right, let's get to McPherson because people around the country see stuff on social media. Obviously, people in this state that follow football know what Alex McPherson went through with the issues with the colitis and different things and you know, lost all the weight. And heck, I guess amazing that he's even out there on a football field. But after he missed some kicks, there was some criticism. And, you know, he comes back and makes 6 field goals, as you alluded to, after going through stuff that most people would have just said, okay, I'm not going to play football anymore. You know, I'm dealing with stuff, and I know he had a colostomy bag for a while. May still have one. I don't know, but to come back and kick 6 field goals, I mean, this is an amazing story of perseverance. And I give Hugh Freeze credit too for sticking with him, for him to be able to have a game like that and enjoy that success.
Yeah, you know, Coach Freeze said after the Missouri game, and Coach Freeze teared up in the post-game presser against Arkansas, said that, you know, Alex was the first one in his office the next day and said, "Coach, I'm sorry I cost you that game." And, you know, again, it is hard to think about what Alex McPherson's been through and what he's fighting just to get out on the field. And for him to come in, you know, and be so apologetic, be upset about not coming through like he has so many times. I mean, Alex McPherson's been dang near perfect since he's been at Auburn. And then he just had a bad game for whatever reason against Missouri. And, you know, for him to come in there and Coach Freeze like, "Look, man, I'm riding with you every day, all day. And don't come in here and apologize to me." And so, yeah, for him to rebound and have that kind of day, and, you know, these weren't chip shot field goals.
No.
Bad game. You know, so Alex McPherson getting stronger, it's such a great story. I know Dave Portnoy kind of got online and ran his mouth. And, you know, sometimes you need to look at the backstory sometimes before you open your foot, open your mouth and stick your foot all the way down your throat. But, you know, that's telling about Alex. He didn't say anything derogatory back. He said, "Look, I'm going to lift my fingers to the sky every time and thank God, you know, whether I miss it or whether I make it, just for the opportunity to be out there." And, you know, the good Lord rewarded him with 6 made field goals the following week. So, it's a great story, Gary. And, again, Alex McPherson is going to be a big part of this Auburn team moving forward if they want to win some of these games coming down the stretch.
All right, let's get to Saturday night. And this Kentucky game, for Auburn, obviously, it's, you know, looks like a winnable game. Double-digit favorite. First time I think Auburn's been favored in an SEC game all year. But Kentucky, I mean, they've morphed into something that, you know, I didn't expect them to morph into. They've been a defensive-minded team. When Calzada, the Auburn transfer, was the quarterback, they couldn't throw it at all. But this freshman, Cutter Bowley, is slinging it all over the ball yard and threw for 330 against Tennessee. Now, granted, their defense all of a sudden went south on them. They gave up 50-something points, but they're a different offense with Cutter Bowley. Yeah. What are the concerns for Auburn's defense with this kid who, and if nothing else, he's fearless, man. He goes back there and lets it and flings it.
Well, I'll be honest with you, Gary. I don't think Auburn's defense is concerned any more than they are each week they go out there. I think they go out and the mindset with DJ Durkin and that side of the ball is, "Look, we just got to keep doing what we're doing." And Auburn's aggressive defensively.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, when you look at what Auburn does in the secondary, and, you know, I think they welcome the challenge. They like, you know, "Hey, you want to throw it around? Good luck to you. We're going to pick it off. And we're going to be able to make some plays." And I think if you're a defensive back in a defense like Auburn's, man, you love a team that wants to come in and sling it around because it gives you some opportunities to pick some passes off. And I think it all starts, though, up front with the defensive line. And I think, you know, when you look at Keldrick Falk maybe numbers-wise hasn't done the things that everybody thought he might do to this point. But what he has done is he's freed up guys like Xavier Atkins be a madman and go make plays all over the field like he did Arkansas. And, you know, some of these other guys, like, you know, we had a good point on the podcast yesterday, said, "Take Keldrick Falk off the field and then you'll find out how really good he is." Because you're going to start seeing production drop from other guys now that you know, maybe aren't free to make plays like they are with Keldrick on the field. So, you know, a guy like him that garners that much attention really gives opportunities for other guys to make plays. But I thought, you know, again, you know, from top to bottom, the defense, you know, is very solid week in and week out. And I know that Kentucky has been better with Bowley at quarterback, especially against Texas and Tennessee. His numbers were really, really good. But I think Auburn will be up to the challenge.
All right. So having said that, I know with the reverse mojo worked a little bit last week, but if you pick Kentucky, you'll be one of the few that picks Kentucky in this one. So how you going with it here?
Yeah, I just can't even pick Kentucky in this one. Now if we lose, Gary, I won't be home next week. I'll just go ahead and skip out. I'm gonna be doing something else. No, I just think, you know, again, Auburn opened up as a 9.5-point favorite. It's up to 11.5, and I think that's about right.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's time for Auburn to come out and win a football game convincing. Mm-hmm. You know, instead of squeaking by or always coming down the last drive or worrying about, you know, it was actually nice against Arkansas to clinch a game with a few minutes left on the clock where you actually got a chance to go into victory formation. You didn't have to come down to the final play and trying to keep somebody out of the end zone, or you're trying to make a last second field goal or whatever. I think Auburn's poised at home tomorrow night against a not very good Kentucky team that's 0-5 in league play to come out and win by a couple of scores and maybe win this game convincingly.
Yeah, I do too. All right, we're gonna we don't do this often, Brett, but Tom had asked if he could, I guess a previous conversation he had with you at one point, he'd ask if he could get on with you. All right, Tom, you're on with Brett Pritchard.
Well, Gary, thank you for letting me participate. But, Brett, I got to tell you something. You know, you're talking to two of the founding fathers of the reverse psychology fraternity. You realize that. You know, we picked against Alabama. And so when I heard that, I thought, my God, Brett's one of us. And but anyway, congratulations on that. It worked.
Well, you know, at this point, I'm willing to try anything, Tom.
I know the feeling. I know the feeling. Last year, though, I called in, and you were gracious enough to take my call. And it was about an article that a person wrote that, you know, he pointed out that there was like 7 or 8 plays where a coaching decision had been made on the sideline. And it cost Auburn the game. Now, look, I'm an Alabama fan, but I like Auburn. You know what I mean? Do I want to beat you? Yes. But football is entertaining to me. Coaching is entertaining to me. I brought that up to you, and you agreed with me. I don't know if you remember that conversation or not.
I do remember that, Tom.
Well, this year I've been watching for the same thing, and I don't know. I don't know that I've seen it change that much. And I'm not sure the kids have cost the losses as much as not defense. The defense is jammed up and they play great. But on the offensive side, I'm not sure that they're getting the right decisions at the right time. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, Tom. Listen, I've got to move the segment along, but I get your gist. It's okay. No, I get the gist of it. Brett, he's saying I think that the offensive coaching has contributed more to the losses than the offensive players have. Your take on that?
No, I think Tom's right there. I think they're, again, I just talked about it. I think Ashton Daniels did a great job of moving Auburn down the field, and then you get to the red zone and you ran the ball all the way down the field and you decide to throw it 7 times and you complete one pass and then another play, you throw a pick 6. I just think, you know, sometimes you get away from what your strengths are, and I think you're going to outsmart the other team and you end up outsmarting yourself. So I think the play calling definitely inside the red zone has been something lacking to be desired, for lack of a better term.
All right. Thank you, Tom. All right, Brett, we'll wrap it up. But the Auburn Blitz, where are you going to be at today?
We're actually recording the show today, so we won't be anywhere today. We kind of have a very busy schedule. So it'll be a recorded show on today, and it'll be me and Andy. So I hope everybody tunes us in.
All right. Thank you, Brett.
Thank you, Gary. Appreciate it.
All right. Let me talk to you about my friends at Game Day Men's Health, located at 1013th Street East in Tuscaloosa. Get by and see them. I have. And they offer convenient expert bat care for men looking to feel and perform their best. Your personalized treatment starts with their signature 3-step plan. Complete intake and simple blood work. Get the results in 15 minutes. Meet with a clinic director who specializes in hormone therapy and men's health. Begin your customized treatment plan right away. Consultations are free. You know, fatigue, stress, poor sleep, low libido, and weight gain aren't just everyday annoyances. They can be signs your body needs support. At Game Day Tuscaloosa, they get to the root of these symptoms and deliver treatment plans tailored to your goals. What you can expect from Game Day tailored men's health plans? How about boosted energy levels? Improved motivation and mood, deeper, more restful sleep, reduced belly fat, stronger workouts, and faster muscle recovery. Get in the game today at Game Day Men's Health, located at 1013th Street East in Tuscaloosa.
edition of the game. We'll do SEC Parlay Picks presented by Brian Harden Construction. We're also going to talk with Thomas Morris. Who is he? He's Ty Simpson's personal quarterback coach. We'll talk with him about the development of Ty Simpson. We'll talk to Brent Beard. We'll talk to Lee Sterling for ParamountSports.com. Going to get you ready for a busy weekend of college football, all starting at 2 p.m. here on the game with Ryan Fowler on Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, your home of Alabama Crimson Tide Sports.
The longest running sports program in time.
19th at Bryant Conference Center. Explore local shops, artists, and restaurants all in one place. Free admission, presented by Visit Tuscaloosa and Premier Service Company.
Life doesn't wait for when your finances are in perfect order. It just happens. But no matter what surprises come your way, Alabama Credit Union will be here to help make it affordable with great personal loans, mortgages, and auto loans. They offer an easy application process and fast decisions so you can stay focused on feeling good about whatever life brings your way. Alabama Credit Union will be here to help make it affordable with great personal loans,
specials, making it a great spot to catch the game or enjoy a night out with friends. Grandstand, located on 4th Street and Temerson Square, downtown.
Los Tarascos has been serving Mexican favorites like burritos, fajitas, and quesadillas since 1999. Their new location is at 4100 Owen Parkway in Northport. And, of course, you can find Los Tarascos in Tuscaloosa at 110 Skyland Boulevard. The bar areas feature big-screen television so you can enjoy your favorite sporting events. Los Tarascos features daily happy hour specials. And for the best Mexican cuisine in West Alabama, remember, the name is Los Tarascos, with locations in Tuscaloosa and Northport.
What does it mean to advertise and do your marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa? Melissa started her business in 2014. What would you say to someone considering Town Square Media Tuscaloosa?
My experience with Town Square Media has been awesome, and I would definitely recommend it to anyone. I think that this is the first time in my marketing experience that I've been able to see my return on investment. I would definitely say in the past that has not been the case, and this, I like knowing that that's 100%. A lot of the marketing we've done has been radio. You guys have so much more to offer than that, whether it's, you know, websites from targeted marketing to radio. You are kind of a one-stop shop, and it makes doing marketing so much easier. So I would definitely recommend it.
For more info on marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa, call 205-345-7200 or click on Advertise With Us on our website.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
Sunshine in full supply today. The high for this afternoon around 63. Cold again tonight, clear with the low at 38. For tomorrow, partially sunny, the high 64. Sunday, a few isolated showers around with a high at 62. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 50 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Roll Tide, the best sports talk, period. Your home for Alabama sports. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Winding it down. Before we do, though, I want to congratulate the Alabama men's cross country team for the second time in 4 years. They are the SEC champions. The Alabama men's cross country team winning the 2025 SEC men's cross country championship. All right, let's try to get a couple phone calls in real quick. Ragged Glory, what's up, man?
Hey, man. Thank you for taking my call. Real quick. Something in my gut is telling me that at Phoenix, there's going to be somebody else out of the top four that's going to actually win this race. I can feel American Muscle. You've got, there's several drivers that are consistent at Phoenix, and I'm the Chevys are going to be working together. You got Byron, you got Larson, and you got Elliott. You also got Penske working together. You got Blaney and Logano. I have a feeling it's not Hamlin's year, and American Muscle will win the manufacturer's trophy.
Well, Ragged Glory, we'll keep an eye out for that. Thank you, my friend. Have a great weekend. Yes, sir.
You guys have a great weekend. We'll talk later.
All right, thank you so much. All right, Cowboy, you got the last word.
I don't know how good that would be. but, you know, I'm kind of fact-based on this thing. And
I just think LSU's probably knee-jerked a little bit here, and I don't think they're going to get the coach they think they're going to get, you know?
Well, they did knee-jerk to fire the guy in the middle of the season. I agree with you.
I mean, you know, the stadium the other night, you know, Texas A&M kind of rubbed their nose a little bit, and when LSU gets their day, they'll rub them pretty good too, I'm sure, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, nobody's talking about this, but A&M has not really played any of the contending teams in the SEC.
Well, they still have to play Texas. Who else do they have left?
They're at Missouri and got South Carolina at home.
Okay, yeah, they got a good path, man. They're a good team. So this might be their year. It might finally be their year, Cowboy. They have been saying it since they've been in the SEC, so maybe it's time. Hey, man, great to hear from you. Going to wrap it up with Cowboy. That's going to do it for the TGIF edition of the Gary Harris Show. Next Friday, I'll be back at Innisfree Irish Pub. Quick reminder about the YMCA of Tuscaloosa. Get by and see my friends there. If you want to get on the road to health and wellness, the YMCA of Tuscaloosa downtown branch can help you do it. They got everything you need. The only thing that's missing is you. 2300 13th Street downtown. For Chase Brumfeld, I'm Gary Harris. Thanks for listening. Catch me on TV tonight with your local sports and with Football Friday at 10:30 on WVUA 23. Have a great weekend, and I'll talk to you again on Monday.